Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, we're in our Living for Eternity series, and this morning is entitled Introducing Eternal Rewards. This is a session I have been greatly anticipating. It's actually, this session is kind of the starting point of why I did this whole series, was I wanted to be able to teach about eternal rewards, and we're going to spend a good bit of time here in the coming weeks as we unpack what this looks like. But today, we've got to do just a little bit of introduction. We've got to get started on this path. And part of the reason that I'm excited about this subject is because if you'll pay attention, and I don't mean to me, I mean to Bible verses. If you'll pay attention to these Bible verses, this will change your life. This subject will change your outlook, will change the way you view your time. It will make God realer, nearer. The subject of eternal rewards has a significant power on the human heart. And it was actually Jesus that taught about the subject more than anybody else. And anything Jesus says a lot, you can trust that there's power on it. You can trust that there's reason and purpose behind it. And so while we're going to look at a bunch of different verses over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at what some of the prophets wrote and some in the Psalms, and we're going to look a lot in the New Testament and even more the words of Jesus, I want you to keep in mind that this subject, the idea of eternal rewards, so that is rewards, things that you are given as a reward, not given as a given. They are awarded to you because you did certain things or didn't do certain things. Rewards, but rewards that will be eternal, that you may not even get to touch any of it at all in this age, but that you will forever. And I'm just reminded every time we talk about eternity, how short the part of eternity is that we're used to, and how long eternity is in the future. We are used to a millisecond of time called your 80 years or whatever you get. We are used to that as our thought process about life, but eternity goes on forever. So here's what I mean by that. Whatever you experience in this age is 1 minute of your life. And for the rest of your life, when you really are living, you will get to experience rewards that are eternal based off of the way that we live now. That is really cool, intense. This concept has had tremendous impact on my personal life, on the way I process things. And it's caused me to enjoy God more. It's caused me to think about God more. And as we study all this, I just want you to grow in the confidence that this is not just a good idea, it's a safe one that Jesus himself taught about more than anybody else. Because it's one that he once rooted in the thought process of every believer. So, we know the verse, Titus 2, 12 through 13, that right now we are awaiting our blessed hope, the coming of Jesus Christ. That term, our blessed hope. But we're going to talk a little bit about why it's our blessed hope, and there's 1,000 reasons. We're going to look at one. But to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Paul, and he's helping to put some things into perspective. He's saying, listen, we're living in this present age, but while we're in this present age, we're awaiting the coming of Jesus Christ, because when he comes, he's our blessed hope, and things shift. Things get better, things get upgraded. When Jesus comes, so much for the life of the believer goes from 0 to 100. He said, so yes, right now in this present age, we make it our aim to live self-controlled, upright, godly. Why? Because if we do, when our blessed hope comes, he will reward us for every one of those acts of self-control, uprightness, and godliness lived in this age. Now, I'm not going to spend the time today. We're going to do a session on on misconceptions about eternal rewards and misconceptions about salvation, even. It's going to touch on that. So I'm not going to really focus on this point now, but I want to tell you this. If you give your life to Jesus and you love him and you're weak and you choose to pass up every opportunity for an eternal reward, you still go to heaven and get to live forever. But the one that's weak and chooses to take God up on those opportunities for eternal rewards, they will go to heaven and have more than you. They will have more than you. This is a very concrete teaching in the New Testament, that there is such a thing as our glory in the age to come will not all be the same. We will all be saved if we love Jesus in this life. We gave our life to the Lord and we really walked with him as best we knew. If we gave our life to him. But in the next age, our glory will not all be the same. It will actually be a reflection of your life now. We're going to think so differently about these 80 years or 100 or, you know, for the ones that die early. We're going to think so differently about this life in the next age when we get to see things clearly as they are. And we look and we go, what was I giving myself to? Why did I spend so much time and energy on this and I gave no attention to this? Oh my gosh, that gal over there gave her time and attention to this. Just look at what the Lord has rewarded her with. Her love and her devotion and her acts of righteousness. Oh my gosh. We're going to see things clearly. Well, big point I want to make. The reward comes with him. Look at Isaiah 62. We'll look at Revelation 11 and then also Revelation 22 says this. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him. And his recompense accompanies him. Recompense is the opposite of reward. That's punishment. But it's not random punishment. It's punishment according to specific actions. Recompense. And then reward is the giving according to certain actions. And it says this. Look all the way back in Isaiah. Your Savior comes, and when he comes, he's bringing with him a bag full of goodies. As well as some weapons of war. Make sure you're on the right side of that equation. Because when he comes, he's doing it all, man. Let's look at Matthew 16. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Same moment that was just being described there in Isaiah 62. And then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Revelation 11, we give thanks to you. You have taken your great power and you've begun to reign. Same situation, Jesus coming. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. That's that recompense. The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and your people who revere your name, both great and small. When he comes, he's bringing his reward. Last verse, 22, verse 12. Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me and I will give to each person according to what they have done. It just could not be more obvious. This is like the most solid, concrete, easy to prove teaching in the Bible. When Jesus comes, he rewards and he judges. And when he rewards, this is the part that I want us to think about. I want you to understand that whatever it is that you get in this life, let's say you had one really cool thing happen or 12, your reward has not even begun. You don't get your reward until he comes. So, I want good things in this life. I pray for good things. I ask the Lord to do good things, and he does, many of them. Some things he withholds. But here's my point. All of us need to be getting a very different perspective about the real goods, the real rewards, the real win moments. They all come when he comes. So whatever it is that we experience in this life, it pales by comparison to the rewards that he's bringing with him. Because he says, when I come, my reward is with me and I'll give to each person as he's done. Then, when I come. Your big reward, your greatest moments, your greatest victories, your greatest rewards are yet future and they are in the hand of Christ. And when he comes, he brings them with. So now think about that term, our blessed hope. And go, eternal Santa on the way. Go think about this for a second. The greatest rewards that we will ever see are with him when he comes and not before. Our blessed hope. We await our God and Savior because he's God and Savior, but I just want to remind us, Jesus is the one that taught on eternal rewards more than anyone else, meaning it's a safe thing to believe in. It's a safe thing to give ourselves to. It's a safe thing to talk about, teach about, and live for. It's okay. Jesus actually used this as a motivational tool. So this isn't like, no, I'm in it just because God is God. I don't know why you would do that when he told you to be in it, not just because God is God, but also because he wants to give you good stuff. It's okay. Whatever Jesus says the rules are, let's not try to be more spiritual than Jesus. So if he's the one that said, my reward is with me, my reward is with me, hey, carrot, reward, like, okay, you're into this. If you're into this, I'm into this. I'll call you blessed hope. Come on down. He says, I'll tell you what, the friends of the bridegroom are going to fast when he's gone so that they can get him back because he's his blessed hope. He's our blessed hope for many reasons, as I said. We're looking at one, though, right now. He is bringing with him his rewards. It's awesome. This is a very prominent theme. You can't see in my notes. I'll just kind of point it at you. But the top of the page there that you can't read, that's about 100 Bible verses about eternal rewards. Okay? And so if you want it, just email me and I'll give them to you. This is a prominent theme in the Bible. This is not a random little thing. We did a whole Bible course on this over at the prayer room on eternal rewards. There is so much content that if you're like, I don't know if this is really in the Bible that much, it's in there way more than your favorite doctrine. Whatever doctrine you're like, no, I love this doctrine. I bet you there's 15 verses on that thing. This one's got 100 or more. This is a really profound, dominant theme in the Bible because it's one that God wants us thinking about because do you know he made you fickle? He made you the way you are. You look in the mirror one day and go, why am I this way? Because God made you that way. Warts and all. He made you that way. He likes you just the way you are. He likes you. And he made you weak. And weak people need help and need motivation. And he knows how to motivate the human heart better than anybody because he designed the human heart. And he uses the subject of eternal rewards to help us in our weakness so that we can think on the future and delay gratification so that we can actually have a far greater inheritance, reward, gratification later. That we can actually have everything, just not right now. That's the subject of eternal rewards. You know, I think about, I've used the example over and over, but it's so real for anybody that's got kids or ever met a child once. They're crazy. They're glorious. They're from God and they're totally insane. And they need motivation. Sometimes the motivation is the hand. Sometimes the motivation is the hand. Here's this candy. You'd like it, would you? You don't get that candy unless you sit down and shut your yap. And then I'll give you candy. And if that doesn't work, I'll give you some candy. Kids need motivation. And I love this thought process of that reward system that says, listen, I know right now there are some things that you want, you need, you're focused on, you're all wrapped up in. If you'll delay the gratification of acting on that, if you'll calm down or whatever the thing is, not do the thing, go do the chore, whatever it is, if you'll instead, if you'll use a little bit of self-control, there's a candy bar in it for you. Now, would you rather have no self-control right now and spin out of control, be a little crazy? Or would you rather get the reward at the end of the rainbow here? And a lot of times it registers, even with a child. They go, delayed gratification sounds like a pretty solid plan. This reward system works. And it's one of the ways, it's one of the primary ways, and it might be a new idea to you. It's one of the primary ways that Jesus used to motivate his top 12 guys. One of the primary ways, I'll go ahead and far as say the primary way that Jesus used to motivate his 12 guys to become the men he wanted them to be by promising them things in the age to come based off of the way that they would live out their lives on earth with him and then when he left. The 12 apostles, the guys that wrote the New Testament? Yeah, those guys. well, I'm sorry, I'm far more spiritual than they are. I don't need eternal rewards. Well, God thought John needed it, and Peter. So he talked to John and Peter and the others frequently about this subject because it's not carnal, it's safe. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Eternal rewards is all about self-control. Don't do the dumb thing now. Trust that God will reward you later for not doing dumb now. That's self-control. Self-control is a glorious part of Christianity. It's not acting on our carnal impulses. But the Lord says, if you'll do it, if you'll not act on those carnal impulses or whatever, if you'll give instead of hoard, if you'll love instead of strike, he says, if you'll operate in these ways, not giving into your carnality, he says, not only will you have done well, I will reward you for it in the age to come. And the thing that you did for a moment or didn't do for a moment, you'll be rewarded for forever. I like that exchange rate. That's better than Bitcoin. That's a big deal. This is a serious, serious subject in the Word of God, the eternal exchange rate. You've got $1 and God's like, look, if you'll give that thing up right now, I'll turn it into a dollar a minute for the rest of your eternity. $1 now? Or a dollar a minute for forever? This is a good exchange rate. It's like that in the Spirit. This is the way that this principle operates. It's totally crazy to not live for this. It's totally crazy. It's you've been given the winning lottery numbers, and you're like, nope, not playing today. The heck not? Go play that thing and tithe on it. Here's my point. The Lord's desire is to motivate us using this concept, and it's safe and it's okay. So what does it do for us? It keeps us focused in this life. I'm skipping just a little bit in the notes. Skipping down to 1 Corinthians 3:10. They keep us focused. Look at this. Each one should be careful how he builds. His work will be shown for what it is. The fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Keeping us focused, building. In the broad sense, Paul's talking about a life of ministry. Not being called to ministry. There's nobody called to ministry. That's just made up. There's people that do it more as a job, and then there's everybody else who's supposed to be doing it all the time anyway, but this guy's supposed to have a role and a position at a church, and this person isn't. There's no such thing as called to ministry. We're all part of God's kingdom. We're all ministers. We're all called to be priests, all called to be part of the kingdom of God. So don't get hung up on somebody whose job title is this or that. They feel like God wants them to do this more. Great, that's fine. All of us are part of the ministry of the kingdom of God moving forward. And so Paul is talking to Christians here, and he's describing your life. You're building something. He says, you're building something with your life and your ministry. He said, and if it survives, you'll receive a reward. If it doesn't survive, because what you built was of no eternal significance, no eternal consequence, no eternal value. If what you were laboring to do with your time, your money, your energy, your thoughts, if what you were building doesn't survive, you're not going to receive a reward just because you did the thing. You're going to have built something that actually can survive the fire. He says, and if you do, you'll be rewarded. But this concept that Paul's presenting, it's like a lifetime thing. He's not like, if you build it for 15 minutes, he's like, this is your life. You're building something for God called decades of life in God. It's supposed to keep us focused. The subject of eternal rewards, this verse, you want to be thinking about this week, this month, this year, this season. Ooh, this season things are a little tougher. Don't give up on the kingdom of God and building something of eternal value. Oh, I'm so distracted by this. Don't be distracted by earthly things. Deal with the earthly things so that you can get to it, so you can build something of eternal significance. It's a lifestyle that's supposed to keep us focused. And he says, if what you've built over the course of your life, if it survives the fire, you will be rewarded for what you have built. That is a life verse. That is a life focus to keep us in the hunt. What else? Keep us reaching. Romans 2, 6 through 7, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those by persistence in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, it will give eternal life. Persistence is the word I want to focus on. Keep us reaching. Remember when I first came to know the Lord, I didn't really have any frame of reference on anything. I just thought, because I grew up totally lost, my perspective of what Christianity was pretty wrong. I thought Christians do good stuff. That's what a Christian does. If you're a Christian, you do good stuff. If you're not a Christian, boy, I remember that. You don't do good stuff. You do the other stuff. And I had plenty of that on my list. So I was like, you know, I'm going to try to start doing good stuff. And my thought process was, I'm going to go from good stuff to good stuff. I'm going to go from moment to moment. And there's going to be these kind of little moments, key moments in my life where I'm going to do something good for God. And the testimony here that Paul's given to the church in Rome. Now remember, this is a whole corporate congregation. He's speaking to a church this big and bigger. And he's saying, listen, to those who by persistence in doing good, it's lifestyle, it's the constant reach. It's today, it's this moment, it's this conversation. It's persistence. It's actually supposed to keep us reaching. And I'll just tell you this, when you reach for God, no matter what your motive was, no matter what the path was, if you're reaching for God, that's good for your soul. It's good for your relationship with Him. It's good for your eternal mindset. Reaching for God is great. And Paul says this, be persistent in doing good because, right before that, it says, God will give to each person according to what He's done. Stay persistent in your pursuit of these things, of eternal rewards. They keep us reaching. They call us higher. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. We've talked a little bit about this. What is it that's up there? What am I supposed to be setting my mind on? What are these eternal things? If I'm not supposed to be thinking about on earthly things, how do I think about eternal things? Think about eternal rewards and the ways to get them. This is a way to call us higher so that we don't just live our life, we live our life for the next age. We live our life for what He's going to be doing in us and through us for forever instead of simply what's happening in this age. Set your mind. It's a lifestyle that's set. Saying, oh, I actually want it to be the kind of thing where I'm like, there's only a few times in the day that I lose my set mindset. Instead of, there's only a few times in a week that I visit a right mindset. Wherever you're at on that line, just start reaching and ask Him for help. Ask Him for help to get you engaged, to get your mind set on things above. They're an avenue to experience God now and forever. I just pulled this verse out of Ruth. I know the context is not exactly right, but the principle is there. Ruth 2:12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. This principle, again, I know the context, but this principle is very real in our conversation right now, is that God repays and God richly rewards. I just like the idea of interacting with a God who wants to repay me and richly reward with me and engage with me. See, it's not just that if we live right, He's going to kind of spin the wheel and then we're going to fall into some sort of category of, you know, blessed and highly favored. No, sort of blessed and sort of favored. It's not like there's just these categories. He says He's actually going to repay you for what you did because He was paying attention to what you did. This is a way to interact with God. This is one of my favorite things to do. It is the most simple way to connect with God. Somebody does you wrong, and in you rises up all the wrong you would like to repay them with. And as it's rising up and about to come out of your mouth or out of your aggressive driving, as it's about to come out of you, stop yourself and go, God, I give this to you. Reward me for it. I'm not going to do it. I know you're watching me, and I know you see me right now taking a hold of my thought, my action, my mouth. I know you see me right now. No one sees. No one knows. No one cares. I know you see me. And all of a sudden now, a moment that was designed by the enemy to provoke me to do something out of line is now an opportunity to have an encounter with God. I want to encounter God all day long. And I don't really love this part, but frustrations are an incredible on-ramp. to be able to encounter the Lord if we'll process them right. I just don't think we think that way. I think we think, oh, frustration, life, and devil. What if it's like, no, I set all that up so you could have an encounter with me. I actually set the situation up because I was trying to build an addition to your house upstairs. But you just complained and focused on the problem. You were thinking about earthly things and not things above. See, God is always thinking about your eternal inheritance. I want to think always about my eternal inheritance. I want to think about, oh, catch that word, don't let that out. Okay, get that look off my face, because right now I know what that look says. Just get it off the face, get off the face. I don't want to do this. I want to cut that guy off, but instead, bless you, brother. Bless you. It's good driving. It's really good. I mean, I'm being playful, but I really believe I'm storing up things in heaven when I do that. Because he's watching. He, like, actually cares. I want him to richly reward me. I want to think about a God with a big smile, who's generous, who calls me son, who's waiting to reward me for what I did. Because that's the actual deal. That's the deal. I think about it sometimes when I'm you know, talking with Riker, and I'm like, bro, look, I got this thing for you. Like, if you'll give me that one, I'll give you three later. Just give it back. And I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about this idea of the Father with a big smile who can't wait to lavish on me rewards, not free handouts. You know how many free handouts he's already given all of us? You're alive today. That was a free handout, friend. You did not get in a car accident on the way here, most of you. Free handout. He's given us so many free things. There's so many free expressions of his grace. Rewards are worked for, and he cannot wait to give them to you. But he will not give them to you if you don't do the thing that you work for it to get it. It's a reward. He's a father. And just like I motivate my kids, or try to motivate them to good behavior, because I know it's better for them, it's better for their soul, it's better for my domestic tranquility. Just like I know that, to try to reward them that way, we didn't come up with that reward system. We didn't come up with that idea. That's our Father in heaven who came up with the idea. He says, over and over. Guys, if you research the phrase, I will give you according to what you have done, you will be shocked how many times it's in your Bible. I don't care your translation. It's in there a bunch. This was his idea. He wants us thinking about this. Also, what happens with eternal rewards, this subject, it has the power to help us make sense of our difficulties. It has the power to help us, why endure persecution? Why? Why put up with that? Why not just shoot them? Why? Why endure persecution? Why live a sacrificial lifestyle? This fast that's happening, again, is it already the first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of the month? Tomorrow? Good grief. Didn't we just do this 4 weeks ago? Yeah. And 4 weeks before that, and 4 weeks. Why live a sacrificial lifestyle? Why? Why voluntarily give up things we don't have to give up? Why would we ever do that? Eternal rewards help us make sense of it. Eternal rewards help us persevere in prayer. You know, the subject of prayer, if we're only thinking with the temporal in mind, we're only thinking about this age, we go, vending machine prayer. I pray, pull the thing, and then out comes the answer. So many times God does not work that way, kind of like 99.9, a lot of nines. Percent of the time, it doesn't work that way. It's persevering prayer that he responds to many, many times. Why persevering prayer? Because the Lord actually says he'll reward you for every victory you get in persevering prayer. Just why study? Why prepare for the times to come? Why build the house of prayer? Why be faithful in ministry? Why do any of these things? It helps us to make sense of our difficulties. It helps us make sense of our trials. These blessings are real. We're going to be talking a lot more about that. But what I want to do is I'm going to spend the last few minutes talking about how to get them. All right, Brad, I'm on board. How I go get them now? I'm going to tell you how you go get them now. The ideas, the concepts are so simple, it hurts. They're so simple. They're so universal to whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your circumstance, work situation, schedule, life, deficiencies, strengths, position. All of that doesn't matter. It's an even playing field. It's the simplest answers from the Word of God. How do we go get them? Every act of righteousness. Category one, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. This is Matthew 6:1. I skipped a little bit, whole section in the notes. Be careful not to practice your acts of righteousness or your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Can I tell you what the adverse of that is? If you practice your acts of righteousness before God, not before humans, same act of righteousness, then God will reward you. Did you notice Jesus is like, hey, this subject of eternal rewards, it's like so, such a big deal. It's something that I'm so familiar with and I talk about so much. I don't even qualify it. I just talk to you about even the opposite. Like, hey, you'll miss out on a reward if you do it that way. He says, in effect, practice your acts of righteousness before God with God in mind. Not to do it in front of people. It doesn't mean people couldn't ever see it. It means your motive wasn't that they would. Because that was what he was getting on to the Pharisees about. They were doing things so that people would think that they were awesome. And they weren't thinking about God at all. He says, do your acts of righteousness to get the attention of God. And every one of them, he'll see it. And he will reward you. So right there, you can start to think about, God, what does that look like? What are acts of righteousness? What do I pursue? What does that even look like? There's a whole conversation for you to have with the Lord. He will reward your acts of righteousness. I am so thankful for the next one. He will reward our faithfulness. 1 Samuel 26, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness, we just touched on that, and faithfulness. Faithfulness is hard plus time. Faithfulness is doing the thing again and again. The hard could be mundane. So many of you, you're going to get rewarded because you didn't stop doing the mundane thing, even though it was mundane for years. You knew it was what you should do, and you didn't stop even though it wasn't glamorous, it was mundane, it was boring, it was old, lame, whatever words, you didn't quit. God will reward you for every act of your faithfulness. Also, you'll miss out. You need to hear me. You will miss out on rewards in heaven if you were faithless. I don't mean you abandoned God. I mean, he told you to do something and you did it for 6 weeks and then you stopped. You're not going to get a reward for that. There was one waiting for you. There was one that he had in mind for you for your faithfulness. Faithfulness is proven out over time. Consistency. Again and again. I am maybe most excited about this because so much of my life is mundane. Like, I get up every morning at the same time, make the same trip, and get the same cup of coffee. It's like, this is Groundhog Day. Dude, this is like, what am I doing? Dang, nobody even got that joke. It's so old. Bill Murray, Groundhog Day. Okay, yeah, you're old like me, Shay. Okay, thanks, Joseph. You're in the middle. Okay. All right, so anyway. Gotta get some new jokes here, Brad. The Lord will reward every man for his faithfulness. Woman too. You don't get out of this. Lord will give every woman even more because she's a woman. She's awesome. The Lord will reward every person for their acts of right or for their faithfulness. And I want to tell you, you need that one. You need that one written on your heart because you will be tested to quit doing the thing you're supposed to keep doing. Every single one of you, not once, over and over. The good news is, if you can just stand against the quitting a couple of times real strong with your shoulder into it, no, I won't quit, I'll die, but I won't quit. If you'll do that a few times, it really loses its potency when it comes the fourth, fifth, and 92nd time. It doesn't have near the power on it. It doesn't have no power, but it doesn't have near the power. If you'll just throw your shoulder and go, never. I will never quit that, ever. I will be faithful in the thing that the Lord gave me until the end or until he redirects. One of the things that our generation, the younger generation, whatever I'm trying to say, is given into is so much just wishy-washy, here and there, up and down, start and stop. It's ungodly. and it will not be rewarded by the Lord. There's so much, I'm just going to do whatever I want. That will not be rewarded by the Lord. The Lord is not pleased with that. He looks at that child and he says, I love you. You are immature. Maturity is steadfastness, faithfulness to the things of God. Whether those things are things in the Bible about how we're supposed to speak and act and walk and talk, or things that he gave us, assignments. It could be little assignments. Do this with your kids, and you know it's the Lord. Keep doing it until they leave you, until they're gone, or until he redirects. Faithfulness is hearing what the Lord has to say, either from the Word or the Holy Spirit gives it to you somehow, and you know it's like, that's God. I need to do that. Faithfulness. The Lord will reward everyone for their acts of faithfulness, every choice. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
Oh my gosh! It's horrifying!
That each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Every choice, you're in a moment. And you choose righteousness, you choose the right path, you choose to ask the Lord, you choose to inquire instead of leap. Every choice, everything done in the body, everything. You bring it before the Lord. It says you will be rewarded for everything that you've done. Every one of your choices, every one of your decisions that you made for God. Well, it didn't work out. Everybody called me a dummy. Did you do it for God? Were you trying? Would you do it with the right heart? You're going to get rewarded for that, even if you got to pay for it on this end. I've had a few of those in my life where I did it for God, and maybe I did it wrong, but I did it with the right heart. The Lord says, everything done for me. I see the motives, every choice that you made, everything that you did for me. But there's so much of our life that isn't done for God. It's done without God in mind at all. Let's start doing more of it with God in mind and then let him refine the choices. Every word, Matthew 12:36, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. But every kind word will be rewarded. Every careful word. I don't mean they received it well. I mean you tried real hard. Every careful word, not just the careless condemned, the careful praised and rewarded. Careful words. I'm going to go encourage that person. I get over there, hi. That's all you got? Duh. Yeah, it was hi. Hi? You just tried. You tried. You were intentional. Whether you bombed it or not, you tried. You were trying to have careful words, to be loving in your communication. You were trying. The Lord says, oh, I see it. I see those motives. Every word. And then, every thought. That's where we'll end. Psalm 94, verse 11. I'm just letting you know he sees them. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Don't want to focus on the futility part. The fact that he knows my thoughts. You may not know what I'm thinking right now. I can say one thing and think another. He knows. He knows my thoughts, and he's paying attention. We think he's altogether like us and that he can't see and hear and perceive our thoughts. He can. Do you know that if you're in the middle of sin and you're thinking, oh, God, help me. Oh, God. That counts even if you still do the dumb thing. You got to repent of the dumb thing. He sees the thoughts. He sees the train of thought that's going on in your head. You will be rewarded for your thoughts towards God. Your effort, your reach in your mind. Most of your life is lived between your ears. Most of your life, it's just what's bumping around in there. You have a conversation with a person. You leave that conversation, and now you're still having a conversation upstairs. What's going on in there? Oh, man, I can't believe they wore that. They were so ugly and mean. They said this thing, and they burped at me. I don't know. So bad. Like, what? What? Like, let's be careful with our thoughts. Lord bless them for their bad breath and that burp. Let's use our thought life to get rewarded at the end of this thing. Last verse we'll look at. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. He knows the thoughts. He knows the motives. I'm just trying to give you the roadmap here. How do we get eternal rewards? It's the simplest stuff. It's our actions. It's our thoughts. It's our words. It's our motives. It's our faithfulness. And there's really not much more beyond all that. There's just divisions of each one of those things. It's really simple, and it puts us all on the same playing field, because it doesn't matter how rich you are or poor, challenged your circumstances or blessed. None of that has anything to do with your eternal inheritance. You alone decide your inheritance. Not your spouse for you. Not your best friend for you. You for you. Today, right now, tomorrow. Worship team, you can come on up. This teaching, this idea, it really does have the power to change your whole life, because you can now start to see how you can redeem with value promised every moment, every day, every circumstance, every trial, every blessing. You now can start to process life differently. And instead of just going through your day, just making it through another day, you can actually be thinking about, I can use this moment right now for God in a way that he'll actually see and care about. And not only will he see and care, and therefore I get to walk in the pleasure of God, which feels good, we like that. Even better, I'll be rewarded forever for this decision right now.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.